This is the eHealth Radio Network, your source for health advice on demand. And now your host, Eric Michaels.
Thanks for joining us once again here on the eHealth Radio Network. This is your host, Eric Michaels. Today on the program, we have Dr. Ronald A. Alexander, a PhD and a psychotherapist, a mindfulness trainer, and creativity business leadership coach. He has a private psychotherapy and executive coaching practice in Santa Monica, California. He's the executive director of the Open Mind Training Program that offers personal and professional training programs in mindfulness-based mind-body therapies, transformational leadership, and meditation. And his newest book is Core Creativity, The Mindful Way to Unlock Your Creative Self. And Dr. Alexander, thanks for joining us here today.
Oh, you're very welcome. It's a pleasure.
And our pleasure to have you with us, and thanks for your time, for coming out to be with us. So in today's era of COVID, political unrest, and inflation, why is creativity more important than ever to navigate all these upheavals?
Well, first and foremost, we're coming out of a time in history with COVID where people were at home and truly imprisoned and immobilized for over 3 months at being able to function in their normal everyday lives, going to the work, coming home from the office, interacting socially with other people. And what we see is a very high level of social anxiety and anxious depression. And core creativity offers people a unique series of pathways out of anxiety and depression, because when people start to create, they get in touch with their generator self, their capacity to generate and to create and to produce things, which creates a sense of being alive and enlivening. And so from nothingness and sheer abject, as I said, it's almost like a psychological imprisonment over the last 3 years, where we haven't even been able to travel a lot. Just more recently, people are getting back on planes. Creativity is a direct bridge from all of that staleness and sense of being stuck and stagnated into vitality.
Some great information to lead things off here today per the conversation. Now, what is core creativity and how does one tap into that?
Well, core creativity is a term that I came up with in a variety of ways. In 1993, I was on the tail end of U2's Zeuropa tour in Europe. And I was sitting one night with one of the members of the band in a pub in the hotel. And he was talking to me about that when they finished the Joshua Tree album and they went into Berlin for 6 months to really immerse themselves in kind of a more creative and grittier environment, that he started to dream about lyrics and melodies and harmonies. And so I coined a phrase, which I wrote my first book, Wise Mind, Open Mind, about, which was called open mind. And core creativity has to do with opening up your mind by going from the conscious mind and directly accessing, very directly, and the easiest way to do it is through what I write in the current book on core creativity about, is using mindfulness meditation as a direct pathway to open up your collective unconscious. And Carl Jung, the famous Swiss psychiatrist, who really was one of the first both spiritual and creative psychologists post-Freud, said that if we pay attention to our dreams, to our intuition, that we can directly access a part of our unconscious mind called the collective unconscious. And the collective unconscious, it's often understood in psychological paradigms as a direct reservoir of enormous creativity. For example, people like Beethoven and Mozart, Paul McCartney captured his masterpiece Yesterday one night while he was dreaming in London. He was with his girlfriend, and in the middle of the night, he had a dream, and it was all of the lyrics and the melody of yesterday, and he woke up in the middle of the night, and he spoke it into a tape recorder, and then went back to bed and got up in the morning, played it on the piano from beginning to end. So core creativity comes out of that place in ourselves. It's a rich and deep wet reservoir of creativity.
That is one fine example, and thanks for that. Now, how can someone who wants to make changes in their life use core creativity to help them experience a reinvention?
Well, and I'm glad that you used the term reinvention and you paired it with core creativity. When I was in my early 30s, I was hired by the Walt Disney Company to come in and to work with the department that is called WED, and that's Walt Elias Disney. And it's really the Department of Creative Imagineering. And so when their last project, or the last part of Walt Disney's great vision, which was Epcot in Florida, was completed, there were all these producers, filmmakers, writers that were involved in the production of Epcot from beginning to end. And when it ended, there was a certain amount of feeling, well, where do we go next? A sense of temporarily feeling lost or without purpose or meaning. And so I was brought in, and I worked with all of these people, and I describe it in the book more in depth. And when we take time to sit with the emptiness, and particularly whenever there's been grief or loss, or we feel a lack of meaning, when we sit quietly and or we begin to just spontaneously start writing or scratching or drawing, as we sit into the quiet, there's this very rich inner core of creative reverie that all of the great mystics and creatives of all time have spoken about, all the way back to the Romans and the Greeks. As a matter of fact, the Greeks defined creativity in terms of a particular goddess, and that she had 9 manifestations. And so the more that we can embrace sitting quietly after there's been either the completion of a project or there's a loss, then we can open up and we can wait to re-engineer and wait for the vision to become clear to forge ahead towards the future.
Another question for you, Dr. Alexander. What can block us from accessing our core creativity? Get into that.
Well, there's a variety of blocks, and that's a great question. And the number one block is that people have, and they operate under this false myth that only very gifted and very talented people are creative. And so we have to melt away that block and collapse it so that everyday people can open up. And the best way to open up is through starting to record and watch your dreams. Second best way is, as I said, sit quietly and go into meditation or contemplation, or for some people like to refer to it as prayer. And all of those are direct pathways to melting, disassembling any sort of sense of a creative block. And the second biggest block that most people have is, it's what's called in creativity thinking, people operate from a fixed mindset that they're afraid to let go of what is known. And creative people, whether you're masterful at your creativity or you're just like me, someone that every day wants to go through his life, when I talk to my patients or the people that I'm coaching in leadership or creativity, I want to go about it in a much more fresh and unique and original way. And that really involves, necessitates, putting on a set of lenses, metaphorically that is, a set of glasses, and listening through your third ear. Two ears, yes, but then there's this metaphorical third ear where we start to listen with a unique freshness. We start to see the world, as William Blake said, as if you were Adam and Eve on the first very day of creation. So we move from a fixed mindset to what the creatives call a fluid mindset. We start to begin to experience everything is in motion, everything is evolving, shifting, changing, and transforming. And that's really the direct and most important pathway for invention, reinvention, and pure creativity.
Really do appreciate all the insight and information shared so far in your visit with us today. We're speaking with Dr. Ronald A. Alexander, a PhD and the Executive Director of the Open Mind Training Program that offers personal and professional training programs in mindfulness-based mind-body therapies, transformational leadership, and meditation. His newest book is Core Creativity, The Mindful Way to Unlock Your Creative Self. And he's joined us here today on the Health Radio's Personal Development Channel, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. Now, tell us about mindfulness and creativity psychology. What does the research have to say about it? And why are so many psychotherapists integrating meditation and mindfulness into their practices today?
Well, the research, when I first came up as a young scientist studying meditation back in the early 70s, we really only had biofeedback as a way of understanding what was going on in the brain. But in the last 15 years, especially by a researcher named Richard Davidson, he's one of many, and he's out of the Keck Laboratory at the University of Madison in Wisconsin. And then we have, out of my old hometown in Boston, Dr. Sarah Lazar, who's now at the Harvard Mind-Body Health Institute. They've done a lot of imaging using CAT scans and PET scans by putting people into meditation states before, during, and after. They can take magnetic imaging of various parts of the brain, and there's many, many important parts of the brain: prefrontal cortex, involved with creativity and then executive functioning, the right mid-insula, which is involved with development of new gray matter, which gray matter is essential as we age, particularly after the age of 50, to create new learnings. And both of these researchers in the last 15 years have come up with this astounding results that just with 20 minutes of mindfulness practice, which is just sitting quietly, following your breath, either with your eyes open or your eyes closed, can create billions of new neurons that are seminally related to learning, to growing, and to changing. And so mindfulness is this revolutionary pathway that whether you're 7 years old, which here in Los Angeles we have a lot of mindfulness teachers volunteering their time in the school systems from K-1 to K-12, teaching students how to sit quietly, practice mindfulness meditation, and to improve their self-esteem, their creativity, and their capacity to manage conflict and change, which when I was in school in Boston, and being trained by the Catholic nuns, I would have given my pinky to be able to learn to meditate and to open up these new neurons in my brain and to have become more creative. So we're in the midst of what we would call a mindfulness, attention, and creative revolution of brain development and brain change. And it's just so exciting to be part of that. And I was one of the original pioneers starting in 1973 in Amherst, Massachusetts, where we had our first scientific meditation team studying meditation. And it's wonderful to see that it's in the culture. I turn on the television and there's commercials that you see people doing yoga and meditating in mindfulness for 10 to 15 seconds. And it tells us that not only has science and psychology and spirituality adopted these meditative paths, but our culture at large is now catching up, where mothers, fathers, children are sitting at home and taking 5, 10, 15 minutes once or twice a day to meditate together. The old saying was something like, the family that prays together stays together. And what I say is, the family that meditates together creates together.
Also in your book, you discuss the core creative terms absorbing mind, open mind, and generating mind. What role do they play in accessing one's core creativity?
Well, absorbing mind is the zone of mind where it's important when you want to and get on the path of core creativity. That at first, you have to draw to yourself information and stimulation. And it's always best if you do this without any kinds of judgments or filters. And absorbing mind takes you into an intuitive and a more kind of subtle and sensitive place of receiving answers, new ideas, new information. And you also need to be an absorbing mind that you move from sitting quietly to needing to go out into the world, go and visit museums, art galleries, listen to music, listen to new music, take photography classes, take any sort of activity like learning to play tennis, learning to study Tai Chi. So absorbing mind is really getting yourself out of the fixed lane, and once again, that statement about fixed mindsets, and starting to play in the traffic of a new lane of self and other experience, which we call is immersing yourself into the stream of creativity. And this is when you start, for example, if you're on a team at work and you're primarily used to working with people just on that team, I suggest in business and industry for people within a company to start interacting with other teams. So, for example, to get the marketing and advertising team to interact with the design team to interact with the IT team, because then you start playing with other people that are not in your creative lane. They're masters in their own lane, but then you start to absorb and take in really vital and important information.
Now, just a couple more questions before we conclude today, and I'd be curious on this one. How can someone tell if their intuition is genuine or if it's false?
That's a terrific question. The primary way to know that your intuition is most likely true is to listen to what your lower gut around your navel point is telling you about something, and also to pay attention to what we'll call the upper gut, which is the area actually around the heart and the lungs. And I have it's a difficult story to tell, but I was having lunch with a very renowned head of a corporation. And at a certain point, he had the offer to merge two companies. And he went out, took a walk in the woods, and his head was telling him to go ahead and do it because there was a fear that if he didn't go ahead and do it, he would miss the train of where the digital world was leading. However, the whole time he was walking in the woods, his gut was screaming out at him, no, 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 no. And he was having this war between his head saying yes, 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 gut saying no, no, no. So he went ahead and did the merger, and it didn't work out that well at all. And so we were talking over lunch in a friendly sort of way. And he said, if I ever have to do something like that again, how would you navigate that? And I would say, let go of what the mind's telling you and just listen to the deeper wisdom of the body and the gut, because the body never lies, but the mind can take you off course very easily, because we oftentimes we want to go with what our mind thinks is so for us, but our body never lies, and the gut will always tell you, in one way or the other, what's the correct path for you. So intuition and gut sensation and heart sensation, the old saying, follow your heart. Joseph Campbell, the great mythologist, would say, follow your heart and then follow your bliss, and you'll arrive exactly where you need to be.
Yeah, thanks for your feedback on that. Most helpful. Lastly, how have some of your clients incorporated core creativity into their lives and business? We'd like to hear a little bit on that as we wrap things up today.
Well, many of my clients over the years, particularly the ones in business and the industry, have learned to practice mindfulness meditation and have learned to slow down and have learned to be patient. I was involved with one of the record companies in town, and a team was really stuck. They'd had the freshman and sophomore albums come out with this particular female singer, and her junior album was not doing well. It had only sold like 10,000 units over a 10-day period, where her other CDs were up in the hundreds of thousands. And so I went in, and I was sitting with the advertising and marketing team, and they were really stumped, like, what do we do? And so I said, well, let me just sit here and listen to you. I'm going to go into mindfulness, and you conduct your business, which we did. And I noted that in a 20-minute period, there was like 73 no's spoken in the room and only 11 yeses. So I said, okay, let's just try something. It's going to be a little left field, a little bit out of the box. Let's meditate and do mindfulness for 20 minutes, and then we'll continue the meeting to how to solve this problem for this recording artist. So we did. We went in, we meditated, came out, and then for the next 45 minutes, I recorded 106 yeses and only 42 no's. So there was the magic. Just by going into that state of inner reverie, a lot of the distraction, a lot of what we call in corporate speak fire hosing of really good ideas stopped in that meeting, and the meeting completely turned around and shifted towards the positive. See, yes is connected to positivity and possibility. No is connected to limitation and end of the road. And so what you want to do through mindfulness meditation in order to stimulate core creativity is get out of no, get out of fixed thinking, get out of your lane, and get into fluidity, get into core creative flow, and get into many, many new lanes. And that's what we did at that company. And that recording artist, after we had that meeting, about 3 or 4 weeks later, I happened to look on the Billboard chart, and the record had gone from like 10,000 units up to 450,000 units in just 21 days. And I think it had to do with moving that team out of the fixed sense of limited possibility and into the vast, unlimited, expansive view of yes. Yes, we can do it. Yes, anything is possible, and creativity is more of a yes and has very little no associated with it.
Again, Dr. Alexander, we really appreciate your time and joining us here today and for your thorough coverage here. Of course, you're the author of the book, Core Creativity. Where can listeners get more information on yourself as well as your training program, and where can they best pick up the book as well?
Yes. My website is www.corecreativity.com. And the name of the book is Core Creativity, The Mindful Way to Unlock Your Creative Self by Ronald Alexander, PhD.
And of course, we'll leave that link within the show notes of this broadcast for the audience and their convenience. Again, Dr. Alexander, all the best, and thanks so much for joining us here today on eHealth Radio.
Thank you very, very much. It was a delight.
Hey, and you're more than welcome. We've been speaking with Dr. Ronald A. Alexander, PhD, and the Executive Director of the Open Mind Training Program that offers personal and professional training programs in mindfulness-based mind-body therapies, transformational leadership, and meditation. His newest book is Core Creativity, The Mindful Way to Unlock Your Creative Self. And again, for all the details, visit CoreCreativity.com. And again, this has been your host, Eric Michaels, and we do thank you for your continued support of the eHealth Radio Network. Join us again soon for another episode that will help further expand your knowledge on those things that are important to your health and wellness. For more eHealth Radio reports, we invite you to visit our main radio channel site at eHealthRadioNetwork.com. And as always, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for tuning in to the eHealth Radio Network. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit eHealthRadioNetwork.com.